Thank you for joining me for this month's spiritual newsletter for October. And the title of this month's newsletter, part one, is Goal of Human Life. The last few months I've written about how one gets lost, confused, or misled by this world's goals and pleasures. When our focus is primarily on these worldly things, we do acquire some stages of happiness, satisfaction, and peace of mind for a period. But then those experiences wear off, and when they do, one is left with an emptiness that might feel like sadness, fearfulness, discontent, etc. So when one is in this process of experiencing life from this state of consciousness, one assumes if they do something different, or have more of it, one can extend the happiness, pleasure, and peace of mind. Thus, they continue the process of engaging in more and trying to fill themselves up with the temporal offerings of this world. The goal of human life is to grow to our full potential. Most of those things we do in our life, be it working, providing for our families, advancing in our profession, enjoying the arts, helping others, participating in society, government, etc., are essential and part of the purpose and goal of human life. Engaging in degrading activities and addictive behavior are not. In both the Eastern and Western civilizations of the old, guidelines were given to help us keep a healthy, balanced life as we engage in our human existence. These two sets of rules are simply that. I know that many folks don't like being told what to do in today's day and age, or they think that these guidelines are old-fashioned. They are not irrelevant in today's world. On the contrary, very much needed. In the East, this line of thinking, one might call this Maya. They are under the illusion, the spell of the material world. In the West, it would be called sin. And simply that means that which takes you away from the light. Yet others might call this arrogance. Every one of us needs guidance. These rules or commandments are not man-made, no matter how many non-believers say they are. Just take this one thing into consideration. There are many more. In the East, we have the Yama-Niyamas, also known as the laws and rules for living. Yama is the laws of life. Niyama, the rules for living. Each set of rules, be it the Ten Commandments or not, Yama-Niyama, have their own numerical order of attainment to live in a fully human life. They give us directions of living in harmony together and how to practice these directions in our everyday lives. One of the Niyama rules for living is Ishara Pranadhana. Ishara means Lord. Pranadhana means devotion, surrender, and application. Referring to the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not have other gods before me. Many religions might perceive this to mean that there is only one God, their God, but it all depends on the consciousness of the interpreter. There is a more profound and more uncomplicated meaning as well. Do not put other things before me, as in possessions, if you remember the golden calf, power and prominence. The God of our understanding is to be placed first in all things, surrender, devote, and apply this in everything you do. Two sets of laws, rules, commandments were written perhaps thousands of years apart from each other and in two different types of civilizations in different parts of the world, but yet they are very much the same in all aspects. Each are guidelines on how to live a fully human life, living to our full potential. There's no coincidence to see that. In the 12 steps, the 12 steps of the process of bringing one back to a fully human level of life, thus allowing us to obtain the goal of human life. The 11th step, one practice as it is written, helps us to attain this. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for his knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. The first part of the step is in a continuation of improving our conscious contact, meaning each day we go deeper and improve the understanding and relationship with the God of our understanding. The second part is not asking for anything for ourselves or for things to get better or to have more of this or that, but to understand His will, the understanding that is everything that happens in life, be it life or death, happiness or sadness, etc., is all His will. Once this understanding begins to form into acceptance, our outlook of life becomes more balanced in harmony. We are no longer rocked as much by all that is happening in the world or to us or the ones we love. Do we care about all that is happening? Of course we do. The next step, step 12, tells us what to do and how to do it. We become the light for others. Obtaining the goal of life and becoming fully human is the more difficult part of becoming whole and living a fully human existence. We tend to be more attracted to the toys of the world as opposed to the toy maker. We are divinity having a human experience. Once we can live from the fully human state, our divinity naturally begins to flow through us, which is purpose and goal of human life, to become both fully human and divine. Each of us experiences this differently. It doesn't mean we become monks or nuns, but we become the light each of us is meant to be, living it through the vehicle, the body, mind, and senses each of us are graced with. Love to all. Michael Jones.